good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And today we're starting a new study. We finished our study in 1 John, and today we're starting a study back in the book of Ecclesiastes. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it, and let's turn together to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we will begin reading the first little section of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, looking at verses 1 through 3 together. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Israel, in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labors, which he taketh under the sun?" Now, when we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, I know a lot of people tend to think of this as an extremely pessimistic book, a book that's kind of discouraging and frustrating. But I want you to realize the book of Ecclesiastes really is not so much a pessimistic book as it is a book of reality. It's a book that talks about how life actually functions. And we're going to understand after looking at our study that it's life from a certain vantage point. And there's a limit to that vantage point. And actually, that's going to be drawn to the surface throughout the book. But one of the things that the writer is going to emphasize is that if all you do is look at life as it is, what you can see in the temporal time period that we live in, if you don't have the perspective of eternity and God's justice, then really life is very meaningless. It's very empty. It's very discouraging. But what we're going to see as we get into this book is that while that can be a person's perspective, that's not the only aspect to observing life that we should factor in when we're looking at it. So what is the purpose of this little section to open up the book of Ecclesiastes? Well, the main point of this section is to introduce a discussion on the reality of living in a fallen world and how we're to relate to God, to people, and the circumstances we experience during that time period. So this is really all about helping shape our perspective and to shape it in such a way that we respond correctly to God, people, and circumstance. So when we look at these verses in front of us, there are four very important phrases that I want us to kind of focus on this morning. And as we focus on those four little phrases, we'll see that these phrases are really very important to our understanding of the rest of the book of Ecclesiastes. The first of those phrases talks about the nature of the book. It says it's the words of the what? The preacher. Now, what's interesting is that Hebrew word that's used, there's a lot of debate about what the word actually means. Some might say it has the idea of a teacher, somebody who's involved in an assembly and they're giving information. But the way it's translated here is he's a preacher. A preacher is not just somebody who sits down and gives a lecture or gives a discussion. Now, when somebody's preaching, they are teaching. That is an essential aspect to preaching. But he's not just giving this series of musings. He's trying to compel people to respond in a certain way. That means that the preacher is someone who lays out a case, these things are true, and on the basis of what is true, here's how we're supposed to respond. The preacher is trying to compel us to response, to decision. He wants us to actually not just think about life, but he wants us to think about life, to process what we've seen, and then we need to respond in a certain way. So he talks about it being the words of a preacher, someone who's compelling us to respond. The second very important phrase that we'll notice is it talks about the perspective or the vantage point of the person who's writing. He says he's the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. That's a really important phrase. The son of David, king of Jerusalem. Now, we know that David was a very godly person. Now, he wasn't perfect. In fact, what we see about David is that when David was walking with God, we have an incredible example of what it means to be a man after God's own heart. When David was living in willful rebellion against God, we see the tragic evidence of how the Christian can fall into terrible and destructive patterns of sin. And so what do we see in David? We see a man who understood the high points and the low points of living for God. He understood how low a Christian could go. He understood how wonderful it was to walk in communion with God. And that was Solomon's father. But David wasn't just a man after God's own heart and a man who experienced the high points and the low points of life. But David was a king. In fact, he was the very first king in Jerusalem who really had the hearts of the people. In fact, really, when we think about Saul, we see Saul was a tragic king. We see that though people were very supportive of Saul's reign, Saul was a very troubled man. On the other side, we see David to be a king that was beloved. And so Solomon is writing as someone who was the son of a man who walked with God, who learned from the good and the bad, and most definitely taught his children from what he learned. And also, we see the vantage point of somebody who is living in the palace as the son of the king. What does that tell us? This man was uniquely positioned to observe and experience things in life that the average person would not. The truth is that for somebody to live in that position, in that kind of a household, would have given him access to things that very few, if any, people living up to that time period would have ever seen or experienced. When he talks about perspective, he has a perspective that is very unique, that is very broad. Solomon would have come in contact with people from lots of other cultures. You know, the average person living in the ancient world would have known their local community, their family that lived within that community. Their life would have been extremely repetitive, very simplistic. But Solomon's was not so. Solomon knew what it was like to see kings interact with his father. He himself interacted with kings. He got to interact with people from other parts of the world. You think about somebody like the Queen of Sheba coming all the way from down in Africa because she heard of the greatness of Solomon. So Solomon interacted with people from other cultures. Solomon interacted with warriors, and Solomon interacted with wealthy people. Solomon was a person who had a very unique life experience, a very broad and well-rounded perspective. And in his time period, you would not find anybody that had such a perspective. And so when he's writing as somebody who's seen it all, who's heard it all, has experienced it all, could do whatever he wanted to do, practically speaking. There were no people that you would interact with that would have had this kind of a perspective. He was able to glean this more than anybody else you could imagine. And so that's one of the things that makes the book of Ecclesiastes so interesting. Not just that he's writing as a preacher, compelling us to do something, but he's writing as somebody who has seen so much in life, experienced so much in life, and can draw from that very rich experience. Then the third phrase that really stands out to us is really the theme of the book. And that's the phrase, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, when you read that verse, you hear this word repeated over and over and over and over again. And the word is vanity. The word has the idea of futility, emptiness, meaninglessness. It's like the wind. It comes, it goes. It's like your breath on a very cold day. You see it in the air and it disappears. He said life is like that. It's empty. It's meaningless. Really, is that what Solomon believes? Well, the truth is that he's going to talk about life as empty and meaningless apart from the realities of God and eternity. And so if all I have to look at is the physical world and what happens day after day, week after week, the repetitiveness of life, if that's all that there is, it's worthless, it's empty, it's meaningless. And really, this is the main theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes is written where we just keep coming back to this theme over and over and over again. The preacher says, life is meaningless without God. Life is meaningless without eternity. Life is meaningless without a God who will ultimately judge the wicked and reward the righteous. There is an emptiness and there is a meaningless and there is this empty repetitiveness to life if all you have is the physical world and what you experience in the here and now. And so he talks about life being empty, repetitive, mysterious, complex, futile, apart from the realities of eternity. We also see that modern thinking thinks that somehow we can escape this repetitive reality. But I want you to realize we can't. What Solomon talks about in the book of Ecclesiastes, from experience, from what he's seen as an eyewitness, in that unique vantage point, the modern man thinks that somehow through technology, through travel, through money, through all these other means, we can somehow evolve to a place where we are able to make life more than what it was. And the reality is that's not true. The same principles that were true thousands of years ago continue to be true today. The things that he talks about, the natural things that he talks about, the justice matters that he talks about, the way that life works, it has not changed at all. Yes, technology has advanced. And yes, there are places that you can go today that you could have never gone in the ancient world because of the advances of travel. There are experiences that you can have because of the world we live in today, but we still see that fundamentally life has not changed. You cannot break the monotony. You cannot get over this reality. Life is still how it has always been. And so we have a lot to learn from the book of Ecclesiastes. And really the main point that Solomon is going to emphasize, and he's going to hammer this, and by the end of the book, he's going to say, here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He basically says, listen, what I've learned about life is, if you take God out of the picture, and you ignore God in eternity, you have an empty, meaningless existence. All of this tells me God's important. Eternity is important. What God says is important. I need to relate right to God. My relationship to God is fundamentally the most important thing about living in this fallen world. That's what gives it value. That's what gives a sense of meaningfulness, not meaninglessness. And so he emphasizes the fact that God and eternity are the only things that give purpose to life. And then there's a final fourth phrase that we see. And this is really the philosophical question that Solomon demands you need to answer. And when you answer this question, then you need to live in the light of the answer of that question. And here is the question. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? In other words, you live your whole life, and all you do is you live for the here and now. What do you have? The answer is nothing. You don't have anything. You take God out of the picture, and you live your life as if this world is all that there is. You've got nothing. You have absolutely nothing. And the end, that end little phrase is so important. He says, what profit doth a man have to his labors which he taketh, and then there's a little phrase, under the sun. And he repeats this several times in the book. The idea is, if all you have is what takes place on this planet, in the physical world, under the sun, if there's not an eternity, if there's not God's eternal kingdom, if you don't have the later on, then you don't have anything. And so he asks this as a question. And he says, how are you going to answer that question? What are you going to do with that question? You know, the modern man thinks that they can escape into all these other areas. If I travel the world, I'll finally find fulfillment. If I can make all this money, I'll finally find fulfillment. If I can experience all these pleasures, I'm going to finally have fulfillment. And you know what we've learned? As modern man rejects God, modern man becomes more and more empty. And what does modern man find out? Life is vanity of vanities. All of it is vanity. What profit does a man have to all his labors under the sun? You remove God from the picture. You remove eternity. If all we are is animals living for a period of 70, 80 to 90 years, if that's all that we have, the joys and the sorrows, we have nothing. And that's the point of the book of Ecclesiastes. And we will see this repeated over and over and over again. So let's be practical and ask the question, what can we learn from this introduction to the book? Well, let me give you a couple things that I jotted down this morning that I hope will be a help to you. The first is this. God wants us to look at the world around us and ask questions. He wants us to be observers who are thinking about the nature of life and what we are living through right now. He doesn't want us to just stick our heads in the sand and ignore it. He wants us to actually think about life under the sun. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is. It's a call to think about life under the sun and ask the question, what's the point of all of this? The second point is this. He wants us to come to good conclusions about life that will lead us to good choices. So not only are we supposed to think about life and ask the question, what's the point? But we're supposed to come up with the right answer. And the right answer is fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every thought and action into judgment. Enjoy the fruit of your labor that God has given you. Live joyfully with the wife of your youth. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your labors. Take enjoyment as good gifts from the hands of God. But live life in the light of eternity, in the light of a relationship with God. Three, he wants us to learn from those who've gone before us. How foolish is it for us to think we have to learn it all for ourselves? The truth is that there are people who have lived their lives, and after living their lives, making lots of bad choices and lots of good choices, they've learned some things about life. And as they get to the end of their life, they can give us some information that can be helpful to us so that we can have more purpose and there can be more value in the things that we're doing. Why would we go and try to learn it all ourselves? The book of Ecclesiastes is basically saying, here's a man who was the king's son. He had everything that a man could imagine. He had a perspective unlike any other in his generation. And this is what he learned about life. Listen to what he's saying. It can help you. It can be a tremendous benefit to you. Make good choices so that you learn from the people before you. And last, I'll mention this. He wants us to recognize that observation without consideration of God and eternity will lead us to a troubling, empty conclusion. And this will ultimately lead to destructive ends. The truth is, one of the reasons that our society, and it's not just American culture, this is the Western world, this is all over the world. One of the reasons that many cultures today are experiencing incredible depression among people, lots of people who are willing to take their own lives because they feel like life is meaningless, and it's empty, and it has no value. Many people have gotten to that place because they are observers of the world around them. And what they're observing does not give them hope. It doesn't give them comfort. It doesn't give them a sense of meaningfulness. They see that life is empty and meaningless. And the reason they've come to that conclusion many times is because they don't see that we live under the sun, but there's an eternity beyond the sun. They don't understand that it's not just the physical world that we're living for and we're living in, but there's an eternity. There is a judgment. There is a God in heaven who actually gives meaningfulness and purpose to the very mundane and simple things that we do. Those repetitive things that we do week in and week out, they actually have meaning to God when we do them for his honor and glory. And so one of the things that the book of Ecclesiastes calls us to do is don't come to the conclusion that life is worthless. Come to the conclusion that life is worthless if there's no God and eternity. And there is a God, and there is eternity, and there is a gospel, and you do have purpose, and there is a meaningfulness to your life because there is a God and gospel and eternity. And so when we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, I hope that you'll find it to be an encouraging and a practical, a very realistic study as we go through God's word. If this has been an encouragement to you this morning, I hope that you'll share that. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, and we will look forward to our next study, Lord willing, tomorrow. Father, thank you for the opportunity to think about and to discuss the very first section of the book of Ecclesiastes. Help us to be a people who think deeply about the world around us, but come to the right conclusions that don't factor in living in a fallen world without God, but living in a fallen world in light of eternity in the gospel. We ask that you'll bless this and use it in the lives of the people that will listen to it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see each of you this morning. I wasn't recording the last 2 days because my children have had birthdays this week, and we went and did some camping, had a really good time. But we're back to our study, and so we're looking forward to our study in Ecclesiastes. Hope you have a wonderful day, and we will see you, Lord willing, next time. Bye now.